Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning. 53 in Green Bay, 55 in Appleton, 57 in Oshkosh. What a beautiful morning out there. Got this. We're talking about no-see-ums.
Yep.
Okay, and we got this. Somebody just sent it in from Wikipedia, but Saratopa Gunite. Pretty close, don't you think? Is it, Julie, can you say that word?
I cannot.
Okay. is a family of flies commonly known as no-see-ums, N-O-S-E-E-U-M-S, or biting midges. Generally 1 to 3 millimeters in length. The family includes more than 5,000 species distributed worldwide, except for Antarctica and the Arctic. So see, no-see-ums is a thing, and it is a midge. It's a biting midge. And they're ferocious. I mean, they're unbelievably bad. Yeah. You guys don't know about no-see-ums. We don't have them here, really.
Only in the South. I remember sitting in the grass in Florida and getting bitten in the ankles and the legs.
Absolutely.
And my grandmother would be like, get up off that grass.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So, same thing. Julie, we're talking with Julie Mazzolini.
Mazzolini.
Yep. I got that right. And it's no...
Slow-mo.
No, it's no. But it is today.
Today is, though.
And yeah. Today's May Day. It's May 1st. Yeah. And we have all these things coming out in May.
What is that for... Was it invented for the environment?
No.
What is it from?
I think it's a holiday for. There used to be a Mayflower, didn't
right?
May
Day is a big deal.
Yeah.
Is that what they had in France, like when they overthrew the governor or whatever, or not the governor, the
prime minister?
Whatever it was back in the French Revolution, wasn't that May Day?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think it's tied
Let's
to
bring
a war.
It back. Let's bring it back.
No, I thought it was. But the overthrow of the government in France. That was May Day, wasn't it? Bastille Day.
But the Bastille Day, that's the French.
But I know, that's what I said.
No, that's not
But
May
I think
Day.
Bastille Day is also today. It's
no,
May
it's
Day.
Not.
I think it
Bastille
is.
Bastille Day is...
today?
No, it's not. Bastille Day is closer in July. Anyway, Johnny, let's get back to Julie.
Okay, hang on. Todd just said, International Workers' Day, also known as Labor Day in some countries and often referred to as May Day, is a celebration of laborers and the working classes that is promoted by the International Labor Movement and occurs every year on the 1st of May or the first Monday in May, International Workers' Day.
Right, International Workers' Day.
That's what it is.
Nothing with Bastille. Okay, anyway, back to Julie. So Julie is...
Like those guys didn't have jobs?
Julie's so educated and... You're so schooled in what you've done with the Stewardship and Resources Committee on in Wapaka Chain of Lakes, and you chair the Green Bay Wild Ones, at getting grants for the community, all about the environment. And your whole life's been dedicated to this. And we have you in here to talk about this. Is no mow May the best way to go? And you, the last segment, you talked about, look, a lot of what animals, insects rely on the grass. And we're cutting it away, and that's maybe not a really good idea, but there's other things we can do?
There's other things we can do, and I think we want to remember it's not just May that we need to think about. We need to think about our yards and environment more holistically. Let's remember that that bees and pollinators need our habitats in our yards. Our yards are part of the environment. We're not separate from it. So we should be thinking about our yards not just in May, but we should be thinking about it all year round.
Right. So... no mow May became like, this is the answer.
No mow May is really well intended because we want to remember that our pollinators need early blooming flowers. The early pollinators that are coming out of hibernation need the food. And so by cutting down and removing all the dandelions, we're removing food for them, pollen and nectar. So That's where no mow May really came from, is to keep the dandelions so that we are also keeping other flowers in our yards so that the pollinators have something to feed on.
So could one, if they want to groom their lawn, could they just maybe make a dandelion garden? Is that a good idea?
They can make a dandelion garden, but I would highly recommend that they plant early blooming native plants.
So
I don't think you can grow dandelions, can you? I mean, I don't think
there's I don't know. You can let them grow.
That's what I mean. Let them grow. But there's not
We're not going to find a seed for
that. We can't do a flower bed type thing and grow. Yeah.
But our native pollinators need native plants. That's key. And there's many native early blooming plants that our native pollinators would thrive on. Okay. Our native pollinators are they evolved over the millions of years with these native plants, and some of them specialize on these plants. In other words, it's not just the monarch butterfly that specializes on the milkweed. Many of our pollinators are specialized on specific plants. We have the plants in our yard. You're going to have that pollinator in your yard.
Awesome.
And what Julie's point is like she said, we have to look more holistically. Yeah. The major cause of the decline in the pollinators and bees and everything is loss of habitat. So what you want to focus on is trying to build your yard up as a native habitat. And so you can still cut your lawn, but her point is, throughout the whole year, plant native plants, decorative plants, if you want, early blooming, mid blooming, late blooming. So that way the pollinators have something to feed on year round. The early May and April is just for the emerging pollinators coming out of the ground.
So like once the dandelions are done,
remember when September comes, we still have pollinators here that are going to need plants that are blooming in September.
So what should we be planting? Like milkweed. We have that on one side of our homes because we're all into this butterflies. And I know that some people came to see me when I was mayor. And they were concerned because when we did some construction on the east side, we took a lot of milkweed out.
Yeah.
And
I mean, milkweed is one. I mean, there's many really early blooming flowers that you can plant. And milkweed, milkweed is blooming more midsummer.
Yeah.
But you want some like pussy willows that bloom super early in the spring.
And those look cool.
Right. There's different varieties of pussy willows that you can get as well in your yard.
Okay. So if we want to groom our lawn, you're like, okay, but replace it with something else. These pollinators.
Right.
And pussy willows is an option.
And I have a whole book of, you can get a whole list of different flowers that will bloom early. Like Wayne mentioned, bloom mid and bloom late in the season. You want to plant throughout the season for our pollinators. And then also, remember, you want to leave a little bit of bare ground where pollinators can nest in there and build their eggs and hibernate throughout the winter. Leave your stalks and stems without cutting them all the way to the ground because that's what the other ones will nest in. Leave bits of wood that's dead and dying in your yard because they're also nesting in there.
So do you give classes on this or you got a website? There's a lot.
They can go to, so one thing that we're trying to do, and Julie's probably got more information. We, Brown County Beekeepers, we have an excellent website and we have people like Julie that are writing blogs. So I encourage people to go to browncountybeekeepers.com and we have a blog section. And so we have one started right now that's pertaining to what we're talking about, but throughout the month of May, just for, we're going to have people kind of continuing on with that.
Right. June, July. She said it's a whole season that we have to do this. That's all right. That's nice. I think people do want to do the right thing.
They do.
They really
believe that people want to do the right thing. They just don't know what they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And so we're trying to educate people to understand that what they do in their yards matters. And like Wayne mentioned, there's loss of habitat is the big reason why we're losing a lot of our pollinators. And also, loss of food sources because we're paving over much of what we're doing here. And we just need to be more mindful about what we're doing. The leaves are what are also important. If we remove all of the leaves in our yard, we're removing the habitat for bees, and not just bees but butterflies and moths and no-see-ums.
And it affects more than just. So if you're a bird watcher, so birds feed on native insects. If you want native insects, you need native plants. So if you're a bird watcher and you want diversity in birds, you want to have these pollinator gardens.
Birds are not going to stuff their babies with bird seed. They need caterpillars to do that.
Yeah. You Tell me about it. I built a bird feeder last year. All I get is squirrels. I swear to God. It's unbelievable.
There are people in the city and even in this, but they love birds. And this is really good for them to hear how important this process is to getting the good birds. And yeah, they got to feed their babies. And if they don't want to use, you know, I buy the really expensive seed. That's not good enough.
Well, it's good to feed the birds seed.
But not the mom.
But they're not going to be feeding their babies, the young ones with bird seed. They're going to need caterpillars to do that.
Or kind of like, remember in Shawshank Redemption, Red, he had that bird he kept, and like sometimes there were like maggots in the food, and they'd give them to him, and that's what he'd feed the baby bird with. Remember that?
She doesn't know, John.
Remember that?
No, not at all. No, I
remember that?
No.
No?
No. Kind of what really got me interested in this, and again, Julie's such a great resource. She's been my mentor with bees and even stuff like this is, I think I talked about this before. I get my honey analyzed by a pollen analyst.
Right.
And I assumed that the pollen in the honey dictated the flavor of the honey. Well, talking to my pollen scientist, that's not true. It's only true half the time. So I did some research, and there was a USDA study. For me, it all goes back to honeybees because I love honeybees. So honeybees need diversity. So what honeybees do is, like I said, they're not picky on the sugar sources, the nectar sources, but they are on the pollen sources. So again, we need biodiversity, and we have that in our environment. Everything's healthy.
All right.
Love it.
Julie, we got 1.5 minute. What have you got left?
Make sure that you just manage your yards mindfully and remember that everything that you do in your yard matters.
And I like that.
BrownCountyBeekeepers.com. We can learn more about this. And it sounds like you have a ton of information in your head.
There's so much out there.
Go ahead, Wade. Slow me.
With everything that we learned, Mayor, I'm starting the new unofficial slow-mo May, meaning just slow down, use common sense methods. If you don't want to do one thing, look at another thing. Thing that Julie didn't talk about was the nighttime pollinators.
Oh, that's right.
So, you either turn your lights off or set some timers. Let the nighttime pollinators have the privacy.
Because they need the darkness.
Right.
So if you got lights on all night, that's not the answer. Yep. All right.
So there's something for everybody to do.
Motion detectors.
Yep,
right.
Year round.
Change that. Okay, Julie, this is great, Wayne. And I think slow down is like learn more. I think that's what you're kind of saying. But instead of no more, like this is the answer, there's a lot of stuff. And get to the website. I think this is great. Yeah. I think people are really interested in this. I really do. And
yeah.
I think they
got it. It's growing.
Yeah, Brown County.
Do I get the rubber stamp?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Come on, give it to me. Give it to me. Ready? Yes.
Right, there it is.
All right.
It's official. It's unofficial, officially.
It. Julie, thank you so much for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
Really cool
thank
stuff.
You.
Really educational. I learned so much when Wayne comes into the people he brings in.
Yes.
Thank you guys both for being here. Outstanding. You guys are the best. We got to set a quick break. My name is the mayor. Back after this.
It's a radio show.
All right. Wasn't that interesting? I mean, I think we all care so much about our yards and the environment, and to have a good-looking yard and also support the environment and everything that's going on. I think that was great. That Julie's awesome. You guys got to go to browncountybeekeepers.com. She blogs on there. She tells us things that we can do. And I get the whole no-mo May. I mean, but there's so much more we can do. And like Wayne said, with the slow-mo May, what he's really saying is slow down a little bit. Don't just go to this extreme. You'll learn a little bit more about other things you can do, and we can have, good looking lawns and great
environment. When we have our compound, you and I, no mow summers. I'm serious. No mow summers.
No, slow mow summers.
Yes, and I'm doing it for the environment.
Slow mow summers because we're going to be a very chill, laid back.
But let everything grow. Let's just let it grow. Mm. Why, Jim? That's best for the environment. We're going to have no pesticides at our place.
I agree with that.
None.
Didn't even get to that. Even though
I'm not a fan of pesticides of any type.
We have a service that does that, but we switched over to the organic. So our dog, that's not good for dogs. That's
no,
pesticide
it's terrible.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I think our last dog died. I think it had something to do with that. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Cancer. Yeah. It's,
Wow.
But, you can get the, I should have asked her. I don't know if it's organic. It's something with it, but it's
like a natural.
The natural pesticide. That's what it is. So that doesn't make sense though, a natural pesticide, but.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
It's still killing stuff.
Right.
We don't get her back.
But there's a thing, there's something you can do. And we're doing, I don't know the details on that, but I'll bring it next time.
All right, we're going to work on that. All right, yes. No, I'm just saying that. Right. But yeah, but you know, I've learned more from Wayne about stuff that, in these 6 months or whatever that I've ever learned in any books or TV shows or reading or anything. Yeah, it's just incredible.
He's so deep.
Oh, you know what
that.
I meant to talk to him about? Is Wayne still there? Question for him.
What?
I got one more question for him about I want to know if I can borrow some of his property. For the mushroom farm, Jim.
Oh, jeez. Okay. That would be illegal. Let's just talk to him.
No, it's not. Yeah. We're going
to
make a lot of money on this.
I know.
We're always looking for ways for you and me to make money.
That's true.
Well, I just want to rent out.
One more question.
Could I get, how much acreage do you have?
No, I don't. I have 2 acres.
Okay.
2 acres.
Could I have a little corner?
Sure.
Because I want to do a mushroom farm.
Oh, it's funny. Yesterday when you guys were talking about that, I wanted to chime in, but my phone literally locked me out.
Okay.
I do not now, but I've done mushrooms and I know what you did wrong on your shiitakes.
Okay. Because they did
work. What did you do wrong?
Those logs, I carried them back to my house.
Because here's
the
thing. I saw this show the other night and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to do this. They take about 3 foot lengths of oak wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drill in.
Drills the holes. Yep. Got the little dowels that's been like saturated with the spores.
Yeah.
Pound them in, cover them with a little bit of wax, I think it was, or something.
Wax.
And
just a plug sometimes.
Yeah. And the shiitakes grow crazy. I want to do a shiitake farm and then sell them at the farmer's market.
The guy, I just want to say, Wayne, I want to hear what you have to say, but that's exactly what the guy told me. That you will have mushrooms, because my wife, and I like mushrooms too, but
I love
mushrooms. You'll just be able to cut these things. They're going to grow and grow. And so I said, well, I'll take 2 of them. And they weren't real cheap. So I brought them home and. Nothing.
So you have to remember, mushroom is a fungus.
Yeah.
So in order for a fungus to grow, it needs moisture and shade. So if you put your logs out just randomly in your yard, most likely you didn't get anything because
probably having
in
the
fact,
sun.
In fact, most shiitake farmers they'll spray the logs periodically.
They
have to be
moist.
They have to be in shade, so you know sun. You don't want sun pounding on them. What the easiest one to grow? In fact, you can talking about pollinator friendly yards is wine cap mushrooms. So you can buy just a sawdust spawn, and you can put this spawn in your wood chips among your flowers, so that it's underneath your flowers, and you'll have wine cap mushrooms, which are great.
Wow! Where do you get this from?
I'll do that.
Okay. This is where you get. So we should have this. You should have these. So there's a company in Peshtigo called Field and Forest.
Okay.
That they are one of the largest distributors for mushroom spawn.
Oh,
in the nation.
I got to get some of this.
Yeah, I order my spawn from them.
So all my like flower beds that are with the, you know, wood chip type stuff and everything like that, the mulch.
Yep.
Just sprinkle this on it.
Sprinkle it on it.
Want some.
But then, now what? So it's a fungus. So when it starts growing, it's basically just going to eat away your wood. So you'll have to re-add. So you can't just set it and forget it. So, you know, when the mushrooms grow, they're using that wood chips for food. It's breaking it down. That's the job of fungus. So every year you have to add more wood chips, more straw.
Sure.
And things
but
like,
then you can just pick them and eat them, basically. Wash them off.
So they'll usually come around fall, like September time, because that's when it's cool. They'll grow when it's cool, rainy, moist.
Okay. So how long does it take? Do we have to plant them now?
I'm in.
Well, if you did the wine caps, then yeah, you could do it now, and then in the fall you'll get a flush and everything.
Like, will they come back every year then?
Yeah. But if you keep adding to the wood chips, which you would, they are great.
Do these
mushroom.
Have to be in the shade too?
Yeah, oh yeah, all mushrooms. Yeah, you don't want them in the.
Do you know about morels?
Yeah,
aren't they the greatest tasting thing in the world?
House.
Do you really? Yeah. They don't last long, though, do they?
No,
I mean they'll be like a week or a few days,
it's
and
like,
boom.
Yeah, you got mushroom hunters. That's like the number one.
I was telling Jim that. I said when people have a spot that they know they're at, they will stake that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so tell me again. Is it just online?
Can you get some
place? Yeah,
our listeners want to get it, because I think people like mushrooms, and I think that'd be fun to grow that. You could plant
Field
them
in
like
Forest in Peshtigo, you can order it. They'll send it right to your house. And there's a lot of education. They have a great Instagram.
Do you know the guy? Can you hook him up? Get him on the show.
I could reach out. I'm sure.
Yeah. Please don't. Bring them on the show.
Because mushrooms are, yes.
That's my favorite thing. Oh, my God. This
will be fun. And then in fall, we'll have them.
Yeah. Well, the white. So some of them, they have all different strains. Like, see, mushrooms, there's some strains that will grow in compost piles. Some will grow in straw. Some will grow in wood chips. Some will grow in logs. So each type of mushroom has a different type of
growing
medium.
Why are some poisonous? You know, on the wild, why are some so poisonous and some are? Because my dad picked a lot of wild mushrooms.
Yeah.
And
you can do a spawn. You can do a test.
Oh.
So you kind of, you drop the whatever it is on the mushroom, and you can do a spore test or something like that. So
okay.
I'm not an expert.
Got a thing here. Pyrethrins are a natural pesticide that can be made synthetically also.
Okay.
So pyrethrins.
We didn't really get enough. We didn't talk enough about how you can still fertilize your lawn, but with things that aren't. Because my last dog got, I think he got, like, he died. I don't know if it's all because of that, but he got cancer, and I think it was because of some of those
pesticides. If people are looking for an organic way to fertilize their lawn, there's a product called Milorganite. Have you heard of that? So the city of Milwaukee was genius. Years ago, they wanted to do something with their waste. So what they did is it's human waste that they basically heat treats to get rid of all pathogens, and then they turn it into a high nitrogen fertilizer. And lawn care specialists, it greens your lawn up like crazy, and it's organic. So you can put it on anytime heavy, and then being organic, it doesn't burn your lawn.
So, okay.
And that's a great circle of life thing too. I mean, if you can get your raw materials free, which that sounds like
it's
a waste.
Free. Well, it's not free. You have to buy it.
No, I'm saying it's a waste. That's what I mean.
Perfect.
That's what I mean.
That's why it's called Milorganite, City of Milwaukee Organic.
All right, but we're running out of time here for this, but you promised me you'll hook us up with the guy from Peshtigo.
I'll reach out, yeah.
Oh, man, this is exciting.
I don't know him, but I think I can probably.
If I started making those shiitake mushrooms,
I think that takes a year.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No. I think it takes a year.
Those logs have been around for 3 years. There ain't nothing going on.
All right, Big Wayne, thanks very much, buddy.
All right,
thanks for bringing Julie. She was phenomenal.
She was great.
We've got Ben and Deanna Malcor coming up. We've got Gizmo coming up. We've got Aaron Poppy from the Packers coming up. Back after this. Don't you try to think ahead. Save tomorrow for tomorrow.
Now on Facebook, search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Ding. Go through that. Hey, welcome back. So great to have Big Wayne and Julie Mazzolini on. And now it's so great to have Ben and Deanna Malcor on. Talk a little real estate. Bay Area Realtors for Berkshire Hathaway, located right in the corner of Broadway and Walnut. Let's talk. What's going on in the biz? I mean, you're hitting the prime time right now, aren't you?
We are. Yeah, we're coming into the spring market. I mean, you know, like we talked about last time, spring is a little late this year, so with the weather. But yeah, it's really starting to pick up, which we needed to. We need some inventory.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I was reading, though, I just read this last night. It's like I made a little mental note to bring this up to you guys. One of the reasons that people don't talk about is the low inventory is that with the rates being the way they are, a lot of people who, you know, you got that house and the kids are smaller and then you want to upgrade, the job's gone good, but, you know, they might be locked into a 2.5 or 3 interest rate and now they'd have to, you know, and that's been a big factor for them hanging on, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, that's really tough because it is, you know, people have really good reasons for moving. Everybody has to move at some point, whether it's your job, your family, you need more space, you need less space. But home prices really are never going to go down. So they're going to continue to tick up.
For anybody sitting around waiting. Yeah,
they really are. And yet, you know, interest rates, they fluctuate depending on what inflation is doing and, you know, how we're buying and selling and saving and all that kind of stuff. So there's a chance that your interest rate will go down and you can refinance when they do. So, you know, we tell everyone, and I know the lenders will say the same thing, buy now. You may have a higher rate, but you can refinance when it goes down.
Always refinance.
Would you ever recommend an ARM loan? Adjustable rate.
I'm not even going to speak to it.
Okay.
I think that answers that.
I mean, that is such a roll of the dice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
a
little bit of a roll of the dice.
I think, you know, you have to take the advice of your, you know, your loan officer.
Right,
right.
But they do cap it. I mean, it's not like they can go crazy and go from, you know, 6 to 9 overnight. You know, but anyway, you're right. I mean, you guys find the properties, you interview the the buyers and make sure you find something that's really going to work for them. But really, the lender plays a pretty big role in the financing.
Oh, very much so.
I mean, we're not accountants. You're not a financial manager. You're a realtor.
Right.
And you got to kind of tell them, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an accountant. You know, I'm a realtor. But I will find you the home that will work for you. But I think there's
the rest is up to you.
But they all come back to the realtor for the advice. Should I take this loan? Should I take this? And it's like, well, that's not my. You know,
and we have to follow our own advice. I mean, we tell everybody, talk to the expert in that field, whether it is the roofing, whether it's the inspector, no matter who it is. And we feel the same way when we're working with people. And we want to talk a little bit about for sale by owners, but it's the same thing. You know, you talk to the expert in the field who's doing it all the time. We're that same way with lenders. Listen, we know a little bit, probably enough to be dangerous, but
your strength, though, Deanna, is you guys know who to refer them to.
Yeah.
I mean, realtors, and us realtors, I guess I should say, because Johnny and I both have our licenses. You just know a lot of people. You get to learn about who's good, who's not good, and you can refer them, but you're not going to give them the advice. But tell us about FSBO, because I think people look at that and—
For sale by owner?
Right, yeah.
Yes.
For sale by owner. and I think what they think is, you know, I don't need to pay this commission. And they don't realize what a good investment that commission is. But why don't you guys talk about it?
Yeah, it's definitely a big picture item for sure.
Yeah, so we were scouring. You know, we have our own reasons why people, you know, might choose to sell themselves, which, you know, I guess it speaks to, you know, us humans or Americans, how we say FSBO. But that's what we do. We call them FSBOs just because of the, you know, first letter. So just in case, I know we
Easier to say.
Yeah.
Easier to say.
It's faster. No. It's faster. For sale by owner is a...
Americans are kind of lazy. We like acronyms. Yeah. We love acronyms.
Yeah. So we probably will say it a couple times, but that's why. So we did a little bit of research and kind of put in our own, you know, knowledge in this too. But it looks like from what we can tell, we've looked at Zillow, we've looked at, you know, NAR, we've looked at all sorts, homes.com, Clever, all sorts of, you know, sites that have stats. And it seems like the number one reason people don't use an agent, want to sell by themselves, is they've had a bad experience with an agent in the past.
Oh,
yeah.
Which we totally get. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Not everybody's great at their job.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what field you're in.
Right.
So, you know, we always say when you've had that bad experience, don't let it change, you know, your past. Same thing with a doctor. If you have a bad experience with a doctor, you go get a second opinion. Right. And that's kind of what we...
That's got a nice text right here. So glad you have Ben and Deanna on the show. This is great information as I'm getting ready to sell and buy.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great text.
Yeah. Well, give us a call.
Right.
Give us a jingle.
Give me your number. Give me your number.
Yeah. 920-495-7653.
All right. Or else, Todd, so, keep that guy on hold.
7653, Bob Skowronski, Fred Carr.
That's how he remembers numbers.
Old Packer numbers. Players. Bob Skowronski, Fred Carr.
I do the same thing with Packer numbers to try to remember.
It's the best way to remember numbers, isn't it?
It is, bar none.
Oh, my God. I'd be lost.
So that's interesting. I would have guessed that, that the reason people go to sell on their own is they had a bad experience. But I mean, come on. There's a lot of realtors out there, but... You got to find somebody who's been in the business for a while. You got to go to an expert. Like, it's like playing the piano, right? The more you do it, the better you are.
Oh,
so,
for sure. For sure.
Well, and I think Ben spoke to it last time. It is all about relationships. And sometimes the experiences that you have, you know, a lot of times they're not as bad as you think. They had to happen that way. And getting a second opinion to say, you know what? That's how inspections go. It really wasn't a reflection of that realtor, you know, in particular. Or sometimes, they have had a really bad experience and you want to be able to change that for them.
Let me just ask this, Kurt. Is it still at that stage where people, if they put in for a home inspection before they buy, that's kind of like a...
Well, there are certain things contractually that you can write in to sweeten the deal if you're representing on the buyer side. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking because...
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're starting to see inspections again, which is nice.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons that people may experience is they'll go to their friend or their uncle or their cousin that just got a license or sells one home a year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I don't think it's the toughest license to get, you know? I mean, there's a test you got to take.
Yep.
But
right.
It's really...
I thought that was hard.
Yeah.
I thought it was really hard.
I was like, please.
And 90% of that stuff you'll never use. Like when you had to learn about mill and the mill
rates.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't know there was going
to
be math.
Yeah. And a square feet to an acre. You
yes,
know,
all
yeah.
those things. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They've got apps for that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right. But you can't bring your phone into the test.
No, you know? No, you can't.
I tell you what, you guys took your broker's license too, but I was just surprised how, you know, I've taken some grad school tests. They are really, really, the security there is unbelievable.
It
to
is.
Take
yeah.
your real estate test.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
There's
oh,
no,
yeah.
And even if you go to the
lock your phone into a thing.
And I really did have to go to the bathroom, and the guy's like, you know, they frisk you. Yeah. You go in there.
Oh, yeah. The TSA, like, actually, they run the exams, the TSA.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It seems like it.
Yeah. But I'm like, I said to the guy, look, I can't go to the bathroom if you're watching me. He just stood by the door. Anyway, I don't want to discount the test. I'm saying, but that's
it's the
not,
experience.
It's the experience that makes you a good realtor.
Oh, it is, you know, because in essence, a real estate transaction is controlled chaos. It really
totally.
Is.
Yep.
There are so many moving parts.
Oh, there's being bricks thrown at you left and right. And your job as a realtor is to keep that thing on the road.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this one. My daughter's selling her house in Madison. And she texted her and said, hey, got an accepted offer. You know, I'm sending my paperwork back 8:45 tomorrow morning. You know, the thing is, her deadline was, she wanted to do it right away. Deadline was noon or whatever. She sent it, got a thing back from her realtor. Said, he withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I talked to somebody else. I said, well, I mean, you can't force somebody to buy your house.
Yeah.
No.
But it's fine. The timestamps when both of those were emailed, and it came in 2 minutes before she sent hers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's close. Yeah. Yeah. And then you battle over what's delivering, what's accepted.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But it's not worth it.
It's
at the
not
end
worth
of the, if they want
that's
out.
You can't force somebody to buy your house.
You don't want an unhappy seller. You don't want an unhappy buyer. Because
exactly.
you are in kind of a little bit the repeat business.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then referral business, as much as you're advertising and getting out there and everybody knows who you are. But it's really like you got to go with these guys. And sometimes it's tough, though, if your brother-in-law is a realtor and yet they want to go with you, Ben, because you're more experienced. But that's a decision they got to make. But if they do, I think they're going to be much happier.
It is. You know, and that speaks to, again, another thing, and that is something that we always encourage people to do, but is to interview multiple realtors.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's fine to, you know, interview your brother-in-law or sister-in-law, but you know what? Throw somebody else in the mix.
Right.
You know, see what they do.
Right.
Because everybody does things different. Yeah. Trust me, everybody does things
different.
Yeah.
So we're
say it with that caveat.
Yeah.
Say it with the caveat. If it's not us there, interview many.
Yeah, they are a realty.
I think the other the concern that I would have with somebody selling it by themselves is they may leave money on the table.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, really tied. Number two, which is, I mean, could have been number one as well, because depending on where you look, is they don't want to pay the commission.
Right.
You know, and it is that, you know, we only get paid when we close a house. So we're going to work really hard for you to get that house closed. That is between those two, depending on what site you're on, those are number one and number two, or sometimes even combined. And that, you know, Ben can speak to that too, on just the value you get in your home being on the market.
Yeah. I mean, last year's statistics, you know, the typical FSBO home sold for $310,000 compared to $405,000 for an agent-assisted home sale.
Wow.
National Association of Realtors. Yeah. I mean, it's
almost $100,000.
The number one thing, I know there's the internet, you can put your house in, but if you're not on that MLS, I mean, if you're a realtor, what's the first thing you do every single morning?
You're
the
not
very
on the market.
First thing. Yeah. You look at the MLS for anything new.
Right.
And when you see something that if you've got a buyer, it's like you contact them immediately to try to get them in as quick as possible.
Yeah.
If it's just a sign, basically, in a yard, you're missing out on so many thousands upon thousands of potential buyers. It's incredible. And God bless the people that want to do it.
Yeah.
Not saying that. All I'm saying is, boy, are you missing out on a lot of eyes on your house. That's the only thing I would say.
Well, I think even more so, and I think we may have touched on it last time, but maybe we didn't, but Zillow, you can't, in the state of Wisconsin, you can't advertise your for sale by owner anymore on Zillow because they are also a broker. So
absolutely,
we can't advertise them. They can't either. So it's really hard to be on the market if you're not using a realtor and getting on the MLS. You've got Craigslist and Facebook, but there's so many scams going on there right now. We get calls on it all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only way to really be on the market is to work with a realtor, and then that creates that supply and demand. And that's what drives up the price of your house.
Absolutely.
People who are thinking of going FSBO, that MLS, I think you just explain that again, what that does for the seller.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the MLS.
Multiple listing service.
Yeah, right. Multiple there you go. Listing yeah. service.
John got that one right.
Yeah. Question number one.
On my wrist.
Yeah. So the MLS, it has what's called IDX integration. So when we submit a listing of a home onto the MLS, it integrates out to literally hundreds and hundreds of websites all over the place. Now, everybody tends to focus on the big three, the Holy Trinity, Zillow, Trulia, and Realtor.com.
Right.
But it is, and Deanna brought up the point, if you're going for sale by owner in the state of Wisconsin, you can't be on any of those. So it's all about exposure, getting out there, being exposed to marketing, to market conditions. And that's where people see the money on the back end.
Right.
You know, the small investment that you make in a real estate agent in selling your home translates into substantial growth.
Well, you're getting out to buyers that are willing to pay full price. I mean, some guy sees a little sign in your yard, he might come and try to work you down a little bit, whereas you guys are getting out to the whole world.
Absolutely.
I'm a big fan of MLS. I think that works.
Can I just tell you one thing about realtor.com and some of those sites?
Yeah.
At least when I was doing it, they would like so overestimate somebody, appraise somebody's house.
Yeah.
And so somebody wants, hey, I'm thinking about selling my house. And, you know, you do an appraisal, you do comps, comparable houses in the market, in the neighborhood. And they'd be like, no. Look at realtor.com. It says this is what, and be like $150,000 more or more than it really is.
The square foot price they put on there is like, come on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And how they pull those is just crazy. Yeah. But, you know, we have to take those into consideration.
Right, I know.
Because, you know, with Zillow, that's where, if they aren't working with an agent, that's where they're looking for homes.
Absolutely.
So we have to take that into consideration.
Yep. So again, with Ben and Deanna Melchor, and the other thing that for sale by owner, they don't tell you how to get your house ready. Whereas you guys know the tricks of the trade, or not the tricks of the trade, just what people are looking for. If you want to make a maybe $2,000 investment to get $10,000 out of it, do it now. You know, I mean, those are things that you can really help them with.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, you guys can stick around.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll be here.
We got to send a quick break. Ben and Deanna Melchor, Bay Area Realty, Berkshire Hathaway, and Green Bay, back after this. And if you have any questions, let us know.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around.
Move to something more pleasant.
Welcome back. Ben and Deanna Melchor, Bay Area Realty, Berkshire Hathaway, right in Green Bay. Interesting stuff heading into the meat of the season. Deanna, you take one side. Advice for people looking to buy. Ben, advice for people looking to sell right now.
And this time of year,
I think we had these same sides last time.
Let's do it again.
Don't confuse me, because I confused it last time.
Looking to sell. You know what? I think last time I talked about staging, which is very, very important. Yeah. But probably even more so is pricing it right. And getting, because you want to have it where you bring in the most buyers. So we are in a seller's market, and buyers are not going to let you underprice your home. So if you price it a little lower, we usually, you know, we like to work in ranges. So if you're coming on the downside of that range, you're going to end up with more competition on your house, which is going to drive up that price. So really, the number one thing is be in that good range, you know, to bring in the most competition.
Yeah, Dan, you're the realtor there, but even above all that is find yourself a good realtor.
That's right.
Ben said
interview. I should have said that.
Well, no, but
Ben was going to.
I bet. I know he was. But the pricing, the staging, but that. people may not even know what staging means. Whereas,
yeah,
you know, I really
better explain that a little bit more.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just say we're going to talk about that next time.
Okay.
Yeah. We're really excited. Yep. Yes, right. We're really excited about
it. And then whether they should do the No More May too. You know, should they cut their lawn?
That goes out the window when you're looking to sell your house.
Yeah, you just had to be.
Sorry, honeybees.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to sacrifice.
Yeah. All right, Ben, I'm buying. So what do you do?
Yeah, from the buy side, I would say number one is mindset for the buyer. Be flexible. You know, this is very much a seller's market. So be open to your realtor's suggestions when it comes to making your offer look more enticing. There are, and again, it speaks to an experienced realtor, there are ways to make your offer stand out above other offers and secure that home. So, yeah, be flexible, be open.
Let me ask you guys about this, because I think this is kind of in the news sort of. Like, there were several times I was selling a house and you'd get some offers and people would write a personal letter. Mm-hmm. Oh, my kids love that room. You can't believe them. Are those still in or do you?
Not as much. And I will be honest, they got to the point where realtors were writing in, do not, we will not read letters until after an accepted offer.
Okay. Because it got to be kind of controversial, right?
It was tough. It did. Yeah, it does. And you know, it is tough because, you know, those letters don't take into account like the fair housing, you know, rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So it got kind of
gray area.
Yeah.
It got dicey.
Really, it got a little dicey sometimes. And you know what? They were all heartfelt. And that's really hard to read multiple letters like that.
I agree.
But even before...
It's hard to turn down somebody that writes this letter about the little girls are so excited about their bedroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We wrote letters and we moved to Astor Park and we knew we were going to...
But yours said, I'm the mayor.
No. But we wrote a letter to people. We just liked their house in the neighborhood. It wasn't even up for sale.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would have contacted, you know, someone like you if I had bought. But we got some really nice letters back.
Oh, no problem.
People were so nice. This lady, really beautiful German, beautiful handwriting. We just really, their house was awesome. And, you know, I think they still live there. So
yeah,
I mean, I just had no intention of selling.
You know what I love, kind of beyond the buyer letters, is we've had a lot of sellers. So sellers who are selling their home that they've lived in there, they've raised their kids there, they've been there for 30 plus years. It's a very emotional process.
No question.
And it's hard turning over that house. And we've had some sellers put together the most amazing kind of history of their home, even if they're the ones who have built it. What are some fun things that have happened there? What means the most to them? You know, why did they plant the tree here? Who gave them? They just kind of put together a history of the house, and you never know where that's going to go. But to sellers, that means the world. It's really a cool thing that we've seen a couple times.
Love
and we've
that.
Mentioned it to a couple of our sellers too, to put some words down.
Great
you know,
idea.
For the next buyers.
We've had sellers, we've had the people that we bought the house from stop by Christmas and just great. We're friends with them, but I know a guy, I want to underscore that story. I know there's a guy that you know too, lives on Riverside Drive, a beautiful, beautiful home. And I think it's had five owners or maybe four owners. He has dinner with all the owners together.
Oh
wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is super cool.
That's like really, really cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So anyway,
You do find that connection sometimes between buyers and sellers. They really do connect sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Usually after, you know, once you get through all the tough negotiations.
Totally. Yeah.
But because they start contacting each other about the house.
Yeah.
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 Pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm buying and tell me, so what are the things we got to look for? We got to get a good realtor like you.
Yep. Yep. Get a good realtor if you're buying. Again, be flexible, be open.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a little bit of a dad in this thing? Like, I think people get emotional and spend more than they should. And you kind of got to say to your kid, look, that's your next house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unquestionably. And that's kind of how, you know, when we're out showing homes, first and foremost, I always ask people, how much do you want me to comment? On things. Because there are some people who, you know, they want to take it in. They feel like they know everything about the house. And your job is to just show them. You know, there are other buyers and they tend to be perhaps first time home buyers where you're
they want that advice.
They want that advice. Yeah. You know, you're a father figure or a mother figure or whatnot, and you're counseling them on the process. And, you know, you're running those comparables. You're telling them, you know, is this house priced appropriately? Is it overpriced?
Yeah.
Maybe what are some things that are going on with the house?
Right.
So
I can't tell. We have, actually, they're kind of friends too. We met through his first purchase, young guy, Jared and Teresa. They just
Shout out to Jared and Teresa.
Yeah.
Yo, Jared, Teresa.
Yo.
They just purchased a house. But it speaks to that exactly. I can't tell you how many homes we would walk through. And they do look at you sometimes, like, what would you do?
Absolutely.
And we always preface, if you were our kids, because they are our kids' age.
Yep, that's right.
You know, here's what we're going to tell you.
That's great. That's from the heart, then. That's not like this realtor who's, you know, great.
There's some realtors that
the personal element.
Right. Yeah. There's some realtors that maybe a short term or they're not as dedicated to the industry as you are that really look for the more expensive house because 6% of, you know, 400 is a lot more than 6%, 300. But I'm glad that I think a good realtor is like, and they're going to buy from you again or with you again, I should say.
It depends what your motivation is. A realtor, and it goes across, you know, multiple professions, but are you there for one sale or do you want to be with this person forever? Right. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Okay, 1 minute left. Give us whatever
minute.
You got left. I know, right?
Oh my gosh.
Well, definitely contact info. We need that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. So Ben and Deanna Malcor, Berkshire Hathaway Realty. We're located right at the corner of Walnut Street and Broadway.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people use our parking lot for Jake's Pizza.
Great pizza.
Shout out to them. But contact information 920-495-7653.
Yeah. Ben and Deanna Malcor, Bay Area Realty, Berkshire Hathaway, right downtown Green Bay. Give them a call. They are experts in the field. All great right. to have you guys on.
Yeah, thank you
this
for having
is fun.
Us.
We really enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's having
great.
A blast.
It goes too fast.
Yeah, it does. It's great.
And you guys have my old parking space here, and you guys have not hit the pole that
not
I
yet. Not yet. Knock on wood.
All right, yes. fine.
Knock on wood. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Ben and Deanna, thanks very much. Back with Gizmo right after this.
Sister sighing in her sleep.